You'll never receive your healing if you don't know him as healer. You just won't. You'll see tonight, we'll look at it more. You'll never receive the provision that you need if you don't know him as provider. And you'll never know him as, if you need a miracle, if you don't know him as a miracle worker. It's just the truth. It's according to our faith. Praise God. Well, I'm stirred up now. Hallelujah. I tell you, you sing that in your house and stir yourself up, and the impossibilities get smaller and God gets bigger. Praise God. If you have your Bible, you can go to Psalm 77 and verse 14. Psalm 77 and verse 14. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for who you are. We rest in your unchangeableness, Father. The fact that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, because we have bad days at times. We have mood swings, ups and downs. And Father, we know at times we've had to deal with people like that and be subjected to people that are like that. And Father, it's hurtful at times. It's confusing at times. But Father, with you, we never have to experience that. You're always good. You're always kind. You're always loving. You're always ready, willing, and able. Father, you're always just on top of your game, ready to bless your children. Father, we take comfort in that. People may fail us. People may let us down, but you never will. So, Father, we worship you tonight. And, Father, you are the God of miracles in the Bible. That means you're the God of miracles in 2020. In 2021. And going forward for the rest of our lives, you are the miracle-working God. And Father, we don't get nervous or scared or hopeless or in despair when it doesn't look like there's a way out, because there's always a way out with you, because you are the way maker. We praise you tonight. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the boldness and the utterance that needs to go forth in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, in Psalm 77 and verse 14, the Bible declares, hallelujah, it says, you are the God that does wonders. Amen. Now, if you look that word up in the Hebrew, it's miracles. And the NIV says, you are the God who performs miracles. Hallelujah. You have declared your strength among the people, or the NIV says, you display, that's to declare, your power among the people. Well, we know that by reading about him in the Bible, right? We saw on Sunday that the best way to know him is to get in his word and find out who he is. It declares over and over that he is the God that does miracles. Amen? Praise God. We've seen miracles here. I've had miracles in my life. We've had people have received miracles. What do I mean by miracle? When there was no hope, when there was no way, God made a way. Go with me to Acts 4 and verse 29. That's an Old Testament reference, but again, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there might be Old Testament references, but there's going to be New Testament references, and then there's going to be 2020 references and 2021 references. And we're going to be the author of those references. Amen? Acts 4 and verse 29 says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servant that with all boldness they may speak the word by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders. There it is again, signs and wonders. We're on verse 30 right now. Signs and wonders. If you flip over to 30. Signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. That word signs and wonders is miracles. Didn't the Bible say when we looked at it on Sunday morning in Psalms 34, oh, taste and see that he is good? Yes. Part of experiencing him is experiencing all of him. His miracle working power. I'm just saying this. I'm getting in line for a miracle. I'm in line for a miracle. Praise God. Are you in line for a miracle? Yes. Amen. Well, he wants to give it to you, so glory to God. But on October 4th, you know, I've told the story. We've been talking about the million-dollar miracle. And, you know, that wasn't something I thought up. In fact, you know, Jeff and I had been joking about it for probably years. You know, just you know, serious, $1 million would be great, you know, to do what we want to do with it and to say it's coming, you know, and I believed it when I said that, but not like I do now. Amen. It's kind of like when I was out to eat with the Durants one time and told them I was believing for something. And, you know, Brother Kevin, it's so cool. Today he texted me and said how much they missed. This is the week they're supposed to be here. And said, well, as soon as we can, you know, we'll get that going. But I said, we took up an offering for you on Sunday, and you'll be getting it real soon. And that really blessed them. So, hallelujah. But I was out to eat with them, you know, and told them I was believing for something. And he said, oh, are you now, you know? Are you really believing for that? And he pointed out, really, no, I'm not really contending or believing or really pressing in, you know? And so to say to Jeff, yeah, that $1 million, we need it. It was just kind of a random thought, you know, oh, that'd be kind of nice. But then on October 4th, it dropped into my spirit that right before the service to stop, to offering me the opportunity to really believe him for that $1 million, that it was something that God wanted me to believe him for, that he put a promised land of money in front of me, right? And we'll look at the promised land tonight. And basically said, you can move into this if you want it. Now, let me be clear for the people watching. I'm not talking about believing for $1 million for me personally. I won't turn it down. But I'm talking believing it for the ministry to pay things off and to be a greater blessing in these last days. And so he laid that in front of me, and something got in there, and it arrested my spirit. And from that point on, I said, okay, we're gonna walk into something, you know. And then I waited until it was the second service of the next week where it was led in my spirit to actually announce that. And so we've been confessing for that, amen? And I want to show you what our confidence is real quick in 1 John 5 and verse 14, because a lot of people will hear the word $1 million and they'll think, that's excessive. That is ridiculous. What are you, a prosperity church in the sense of greed and stuff? And the answer, we are a prosperity church, but not in the sense of greed. What do I always say? We're blessed to be a blessing. Not blessed to be selfish, not blessed to be greedy. But in 1 John 5 and verse 14, the Bible says this is the confidence that we can have in him. That if we ask anything or believe for him or go forth in faith in him, anything that's according to his will, he hears us. And if we know, verse 15, that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions we desire of him. So the Bible says we can have confidence in verse 14, if you go back to verse 14, that if we ask or pursue anything that's his will, we are guaranteed the answer. Now, we don't go by a revelation of a minister who says that God laid this in front of him. But if God truly laid in front of me, believe me, for $1 million, then we would have precedent in the Word of God. Because remember, we don't go by visions. We don't go by revelations and interpretations and dreams, because these things must be solidified and backed up by the Bible. Well, I don't just come out here and say, let's just believe God for $1 million just because. No, he put it in my heart. And then the corresponding scripture, Philippians 4:19. Do you know what debt is? Debt's a need. Debt is a need. Do you know that the Bible actually, God says, you are to be the lender and not the borrower? Owe no man anything, and you can get religious about it and say, well, then I'm never taking out a loan. It's talking about defaulting and things. But anyways, the truth of the matter is God's highest and best for people would be to walk in zero debt. That would be his highest and best. Absolutely it would be, to not have payments, to be able to do other, free up money with other things. And so debt is a need. And in Philippians 4:19, he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. These churches need this money to pay it off so we can do the other things that God has put on my heart to do. I'll just be honest with you. Until we get these things done, we won't be doing those other things. So it's a need. So when he drops it in my spirit, we have the scripture to back it up, and we have 1 John 5 and verse 14 that tells us we can have confidence. We're not just pie in the sky, hey, $1 million, yeah, let's do it. No, no. I don't know about you, but I've gone and crossed over the divide from doubt to true belief. I am fully expecting the $1 million to show up. In fact, I'm expecting more, because that's how God does things. Amen. And so we need everybody on board, because we've talked about this, that your job is to agree with that vision, Make sure your pastor's not crazy. It's in the Word. You know it's biblical. It lines up. Agree with that vision. Why? Because there's power in agreement. Where two or three agree on anything that they touching that they shall ask, it'll be done for them. We know that. We talked about agreement. But also, your job is to release your faith. Be releasing your faith for this. Why? Because that's a big mountain, naturally. There's a lot holding it back. It's not a big mountain to God, but it's big on the earth in the sense that people are withholding that in a sense, and it needs to change hands, and things need to be loosed, and things like that. And faith does those things. And so we're releasing our faith by how? Father, I thank you. The million-dollar miracle is coming. Every day we're saying that, right? And then we saw last Wednesday, that our job is to be praying in tongues. Even though God declares that he wants this done, praying, you know, in English as well, but mostly for this, praying for the perfect will of God to be done at the right time, we know that it takes prayer to get things done, that God might want to do things on the earth, and Elijah was the great example, right? Even when there was going to be a drought, even when there was going to be rain, for that to happen, the man of God needed to pray. And if you study Daniel, there was a prophecy concerning Israel, but it didn't come to pass till somebody prayed. You got to pray for these things to happen. The greatest example I can see is when James in Acts chapter 12 was killed, but Peter was spared, and the only difference between James and Peter is when people prayed. Hallelujah. So, for us to actually agree, because let's be honest, let's just be real, not try to be something that we're not. When you say the word $1 million in South Dayton, New York, the natural, I mean, I'll tell you what, it's amazing how when we would just joke casually about that, no pressure at all. No oppression at all. When I crossed over into faith, you talk about the fiery darts that have come against me and how impossible it is, and that's never going to happen. Well, that makes me excited because he wasn't talking when it didn't matter. But now he knows, uh-oh, something's changed in him. Jeff would come in, $1 million, brother, ha ha, hee hee hoo hoo. And he'd leave, and then we would just, no pressure, no fighting me at all. But now it's like bombards me nonstop, and I rejoice and say, okay, I got your attention now. Because you know something's about to happen, glory to God. But let's be honest, naturally, you say that in South Dayton, and it seems impossible. How in the world is a little country church in South Dayton going to have a $1 million miracle? And so there's going to be a lot of natural things that are going to press against us. There could be people that online that hear these sermons or hear us confessing for that and criticize us, you know, not knowing our hearts, right? Just take something and pressure and the devil's thoughts and things like that come against us. And so to do any of those three things, to actually agree, to actually release your faith, to actually pray in faith with an expectation, you're going to have to be in a place of faith to do so. Because we know you can just say empty words and have empty prayers, and we know we can just go through the motions. But going through the motions is not how we're going to get the job done, okay? And here I am again checking our daily heat report just to make sure. All right, we're below 70, so no complaining out there now. No complaining. I'm looking out for you, but anyways, I'm probably just a little warmer up here because I'm hopping around like a crazy man, you know? I'm just getting all fired up. But you need to be in a place where you can believe. And the cool thing about this thing that God's laid before us, when the church increases, when your pastor increases, you know who the next one in line to increase is? The people. All the time. When the church goes higher and the pastor goes higher, the people always go higher. And when God lays it in front of us, and remember when the prophet of God, through Brother Kevin Durant, stands in that office, a few years back said, be thankful. You're in a church that has great need. You didn't maybe know that the need was $1 million status, but it is. Amen? It's $1 million status. And you know, between the two buildings, it's actually between the two buildings, and I'm not trying to hide anything. I'll come out with the exact numbers. It's just irrelevant to me because numbers don't mean anything. Hallelujah. It's actually over $1 million between the two buildings when all said and done. So more is going to come in than the $1 million. Hallelujah. But he said, be thankful that you're in a church with great need because it's going to have to come through the people. And to get those needs met, the people are going to have to be increased. So when you start being increased, don't why wonder why? No, there's a reason why. Your prosperity, if you understand this, is tied to your local church and the plan of God. You won't believe how blessed you'll be. I've watched people walk into blessings and pull back because the blessings got so good, and then that would mean the tithes would get bigger, the offerings would get bigger, and they couldn't handle it. And then I've watched them shrink back, and I've watched them get into a place that they're struggling. But people that recognize, I'm working for a giving. My job is provision. I'm blessed not to be selfish. I'm blessed with what I have to be a blessing. You can't, it's like this, the hose that keeps giving out stays soaking wet. The hose that stops giving out gets dried and shriveled up and gets cracking. But the hose that keeps on spraying is the hose that stays soaked. And the Bible says in Proverbs 11, there is that scatters, yet they increase. There is that withholds and that leads to poverty. The scatterer, the sower, is the one that's going to keep increasing. And he said, be thankful when you're in a church with great need, because it's going to have to come through us. And what God's trying to do with this promised land of $1 million is not only increase the church, but increase you. Because for us to do this, your faith is going to have to be stretched. Your faith is going to have to grow, because I don't need empty prayers. We don't need empty confessions. Oh, yeah, I'll agree with that. No, we need people sold out. Plant your flag in the ground, fully persuaded, Abraham faith, the millions coming. And if you're not there, we need you to get there. And by getting there, not only will that help this church, it's going to expand your capability of what you can receive. And I want to show you that in the Word. Go with me to Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. I'm stirred up. You know I'm stirred up when I'm thirsty. And it's not because I haven't ate in 16 days. That's long behind me. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark 9 and verse 23, Jesus said, now he's talking to some people, us, the audience here, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, I bring this verse up to show you this. He said, all things are possible. We know the Bible says nothing's too hard for God. Right. Nothing shall be impossible with him. Getting $1 million in our hands, from his perspective, is simple. Yeah. It's easy. Well, anything in your life that you're going through or up against or struggling or looking at a need, on his end, it's easy. But notice where the problem is it's not. When it comes to miracles, it's not just about him. It's not about him and his ability. It's not even about him and his want to. Jesus said there's another factor. If you can believe it, then you can receive it. But until you can believe it, even though it's possible, even though it's easy for him, even though he wants to, it won't happen. So we need you to grow. If you hear $1 million, you think, oh, we need you to grow. Praise God, we need you to grow. Go with me to Numbers chapter 13 and verse 1. Numbers 13 and verse 1. God's good. Now, I'm no Moses, but I've had God speak to me just like you've had God speak to you. But the Bible says the Lord spoke unto Moses saying something. Well, didn't God speak unto me on October 4th saying some things? But he says, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto you, the children of Israel. Every tribe of their father shall you send a man, every ruler among them. Now, notice this. It says, send men to the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to you. The land of Canaan was the promised land. Now, the promised land represented their blessing, right? Leaving Egypt, getting out of slavery, getting out of the oppression, and walking into blessing. Praise God. When God said to me in the office, believe me for $1 million, I want you to take this seriously. That was a Moses moment where God's saying to us, this is what I want for you. I want you to walk into the promised land. I want you to walk into this $1 million. I want you to walk into debt-free. I want you to walk into the... See, my heart is to sow so big to ministries and the hurting and the needy, that we need money freed up. Amen? And so he says, I want this for you. And then he back up by scripture. I will supply all your needs. It's good to be debt free, right? All the provision scriptures we could look at. And so here he tells them, this is what I want for you. And we know all things are possible if you just believe. Well, then we pick it up. We're not going to read the whole thing. Go to verse 26. So they sent spies out, verse 26, Numbers 13. They went to Moses, to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, to the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. You know what this is like? It's like us going there in our mind. What would that look like if Pastor Mike stood up there and waved that check? What would that look like to be a part of that, to grow, to increase, to be able to be a part of that, right? That's going and checking out the land. What would it be like to say we're funding this part of some huge ministry and paying this building off for people? What would that be like? And we think of that. It says, verse 27, and they told him and said, we came into the land which you sent us. Surely it flowed with milk and honey. This is the fruit thereof. Nevertheless, the people be strong. So that's like us. And it says, nevertheless, the people be strong in the land. The cities are walled. We know this because Jericho was the first place they got into 40 years later. And that had a wall to get past. Very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites by the sea and by the coast of the Jordan. So they're, wow, it's good. This is great. Daydreaming. And then come the doubts. Oh, wow, to pay that off, to be a part of that, to increase our faith, to have our church walk into that blessing. And then come the doubts. You're in South Dayton. It's $1 million. You don't hear many testimonies of $1 million, right? And all the naysayers come. So then we're presented with a choice. Listen to the naysays or listen to the voice of God. And we know now that God's desire was to move them into this blessing. Amen? Amen. It says in verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for well able to overcome it. See, we're going to have to overcome some things to get that million. Yeah. Right. Doubt, unbelief, naysayers, time, absolutely. But we'll get it. But the men that went up, verse 31, said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Here's the thing. This, I didn't see this before now. They brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched in the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is land of inhabitants thereof. All the people that we saw of men are great stature. And I'm going to say what I was about to tell you, this revelation, after I get done reading this. We saw giants there, verse 33. We were grasshoppers in their sight, chapter 14 and verse 1. All the congregation cried, lifted their voice and wept. All verse 2 says, they murmured and complained against God and Moses and Aaron. Verse 3 says, we should have just let us die in the wilderness, or should have let us die in Egypt. It would have been better. Verse 4 says, let's get rid of Moses. Let's get rid of our leader, you know, that just delivered us through the Red Sea. And then verse 5 talks about them falling on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were with them, searched land, rent their clothes. Now, drop down to verse 30. Look what God says. So, he says, this is yours. Opposition. They don't have faith in God. They believe the opposition. They can't do it. And look what God says. Doubtless you shall not come into the land. He says, you're not going to get what I had for you, which I swore to make you therein, save Caleb and Joshua, the two people that believed. But you know what's amazing? They didn't get in their belief, for 40 years. Why? Because the majority kept them out. Oh, Pastor Mike on the pedestal. Oh, your faith will get us in. No, it won't. Caleb and Joshua were ready to take on the world. But the majority of agreement in power was we can't do it. And so what happened? No promised land for them. If the majority of people out there do not get on board, in agreement, releasing their faith, one heart, one mind, one accord. It doesn't matter that God said, this is yours. It doesn't matter that I'm so stirred up, not moved by those numbers and those zeros, not moved by how, not moved by when and where. Just know it's going to come. It doesn't matter how much faith I'm in. You can all hinder us from walking into that, and we can't have that happen. That's why we got to grow and increase our faith. And not only for this, for the church, but because God is going to endeavor in your own life to move you into things that's going to require great belief. It's just true. It's the truth, praise God. You know, I always use the story of my house. Now, I do encourage you, if you want my address to my house, I won't give it out online, but you come see me. I trust all. You can drive by it. When I talk about it, I want to make sure everybody understands. It's beautiful. It's nice. But I'm not talking about some palatial mansion here. It's just for us, meets our needs, desires of our heart, love it. Little country ranch, you know, with on some property. You know, I can hunt in 5 minutes and eat chicken nuggets in another five. That, to me, is prosperity. Right? I mean, that's just, I'm in a good spot. Let's just say I'm in a good spot, you know, And it's just a blessing to us, and it's far more than we ever thought and what we came up in and things like that. And so when I talk about it, this is not me bragging about the house that I live in. I love Pastor Nancy Dufresne and how she keeps talking about her testimony about the castle. The millions it took to move into that and not being ashamed because God laid it before and said, it's yours if you want it. See, God's not moved by this stuff. But I want to make sure people understand it's not me bragging about my home. I don't have that home unless it's apart from, unless God's involved in it. Amen? But it's just, it's perfect for what we need and just love it there, you know. But anyways, you know the story of my house that, without getting into too much of the details for time's sake, we'd looked for 26 months for a home. Abby was about to be born. We were expanding and things, needed something better. We lived in a really, really small house and just outgrowing it and had no place really for me to do any ministry work at all. It was a need. And so after looking for so long, looking out here in different places, I thought I'd just be close out here. It's before Allegheny work started. I just assumed I'd live close to here, and every house I'd see, even the real nice ones that we liked naturally, the Holy Ghost would say, no, no, no. And I was driving down the road with Pastor Tim one day, and I drove by a house that I've seen so many times, and it was just like in the office, something arrested my spirit. Saw that I had a for sale sign, pulled into the driveway. First thing I did was call the number. It was Real Estate Advantage. I believe it's 484-2020. I think that's the number for Real Estate Advantage. You know the red sign there? And I called to find out, or I might have looked it up online, I can't remember. Either way, whatever I did was to look at the price. And I looked at the price and instantly in my mind said, I can't have this home. I had just, she had just quit her full-time job, was making all the money. She's the smart one of the bunch, has the degree, making all the money and things like that, and she had just quit it. And so when we were looking for a home when she had her job, and I was just starting to make a little bit from the church, we got approved by the bank for a certain amount of money. And now she's quit her job, we've lost her income, so if we went back to a bank, the number that they would approve us for would be way less. But the price, asking price of the home was tens of thousands of dollars above what we got approved for when she was working. So of course you would dismiss that, right? Naturally, and in my spirit, I heard as clear as day, make an appointment to see the place. I thought, you tease. You know my finances. So, of course, I made an appointment to see it, walked through the front door of the house. We don't even use that door hardly ever. It's not our main entrance, but walked through it and saw through like an open floor plan and instantly had the revelation, this is your home. I thought, what in the world? Well, then my thoughts went crazy because I can't do this on the calculator and make this work. She's not working. You told me to have her not work. Now, if she was working, we'd still have trouble getting into this house. But now she's not working. And went and saw it and then was told, you know, to make an appointment to see the land, 22 acres. So I walked the land. You know the story. The Holy Ghost gave me the instructions of how to get into this house. But what a lot of people don't know is during that time, there was another house that came up on the market right in Jamestown. Now, you know me, country, want to be out in the country, but this place with Jamestown was even more tempting because it was at the end of a road in a really good neighborhood on a cul-de-sac where out past behind the house was nothing but farm fields and then woods. So I wasn't my woods, but in Jamestown, for me, it's about the best you can get. And the house was doubly, maybe triple better than what we we're currently living in. And so it was so wonderful. And the price was more, almost, it was more than half less than what it was asking. So the pressure was so much easier on my mind, and it was a greater blessing. It wouldn't be the blessing that we were going to get into. And so that's talking to me. But God laid before me something better and said, you can have this. Now, when I was going through all that, the Spirit of God said to me, when I was looking at the lesser house, which was, when I say lesser, my goodness, it's not a lesser house at all. It was a beautiful home, but compared to what God was offering us, the Spirit of God said, this is your Ishmael house. Now, what's Ishmael? Well, Ishmael, remember God told Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a baby. Well, what'd they do? They got looking at the natural. We can't have children. We're senior citizens. We can't have kids. The doctors and biology and the science books, and it's just not possible. So what we need to do then, Sarah, since your womb is dead, go find a younger woman to conceive this child. And then Abraham had, and Ishmael came, and it wasn't a blessing. It was lesser than what God had because one reason, their faith wasn't there. That's it. Well, here I'm about to pull a trigger on this Ishmael house. Simply, God's saying, you can have this place. I'm looking at this because the thoughts are saying this. Just like the children of Israel, God's saying, you can have this promised land. But the natural say, nope, it's better to be in Egypt. It's better you just die in the wilderness. So they have a choice. Believe God. Abraham comes up to a crossroad. I can believe God or I can keep going the wrong way. And man, I'm telling you, that hit me right in the gut when he said, this is your Ishmael house. Because I knew, just like when Pastor Michael wouldn't give me a salary and told me to go to this church, I knew something. Whether I sink or swim in this whole thing's completely dependent upon me. What do you mean by that, Pastor Mike? Well, how's it about you? Because it's already not a problem for him. $2,000 a month short is easy for him. Getting me into the better house is easy for him. Him having, Abraham and Sarah to have a baby at 190, 100 him and 90 her, easy for him. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The promised land and the walls. How do we know it was easy? Because 40 years later, remember in Joshua, I'll just paraphrase because we don't have time. 40 years later, after that generation died and their carcasses fell in the wilderness, now God, Moses has died and God said, now Joshua, go get what I told you to get 40 years ago. And remember how easy it was for God? What did he say? Take all the people. Walk around the whole city one time for 6 days in a row. Don't say a word. The seventh day, do the same thing, but go around the city seven times. And on the seventh time, I'm going to tell you to shout, blow the trumpet, make all sorts of racket. So Joshua tells him, says, this is what we're going to do. Don't say a word. We're going to go around the city one time for 6 days. On the seventh day, we're going to go around it seven times, and don't you say anything, don't you play anything, don't you move a muscle until I say, but when I say, let loose. And they did it one time for 6 days. The seventh day came, they did it seven times, and Joshua said, go. And they started shouting, and they started blowing the ram's horn, and they just made a ruckus, and what happened? The wall came crumbling down. All God needed for the wall to come down to get them into what he had for them was their faith. Because voices don't knock walls down. And horns don't walk walls down. But when they did that, it was a release of faith. God moves on faith. God's power hit that wall and bam! Joshua was in the same position 40 years. He could have reverted back to 40 years ago. He said, it's hard. And guess what? Another generation would have come and gone. And the whole time, I would have moved in that house, and the whole time God would have said, I had something better for you, but you just wouldn't believe me. Yeah. How many times do we miss out on what God really wants to do for us, but we're terrified and have just become one with the thoughts and the opposition? I'll tell you, I can look back at my life and say times that it's happened, and then look back at my life, and let me tell you, I got into that house, and the first 3-4 months, it was hell for me, because I didn't enjoy it at all, because all I kept thinking is, when are we going to lose it? 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 Because I knew what the calculator said. I knew what the number said. When are we going to lose it? When are we going to lose it? And I just keep casting those thoughts down. It was just nonstop. Lack of sleep, just casting thoughts, being vigilant, not letting that get in me. And here we are, what is it, 7 years? Still there, not kicked out, all lies. What did it come down to? Somebody that dared to believe God. The greater house isn't hard for him. The $1 million is not hard for him. Matthew 9 and verse 29. You get a lot of faith preaching from me, but that's what the Lord told me to preach years ago. I guess it's not bad company to be in, because that's what he told Brother Hagin too. Go teach my people faith. So I guess I've been in good company. Praise God. Matthew 9 and verse 29 says, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Glory to God. What about the woman with the issue of blood? What did he say to her? Daughter, your faith made you whole. Why? Healing her condition was not hard for him. Healing the blind eyes in Matthew 9 was not hard for him. What's hard for him is finding somebody that will actually cooperate with him in belief. And we know of the day with the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, many people needed a touch from God, but many people failed to cooperate. She brought her faith, she received. The woman with the issue of blood was the catalyst for her own healing. All things are possible. We're not saying, patting ourselves on the back and saying, wow, look at us. No, we're acknowledging it's already simple for him. He's not a part of the equation in the sense that of it might not happen. He's already says yes, already says I want to, already says I'm the God of miracles. The only part of the equation that gets tripped up is us. Praise God. It's up to us. Matthew 18 and verse 18. Why do we have to increase? Because it's up to us. He said, according to your faith. What's that basically saying? I'll bless you according to the measure of the faith that you have. So if my faith would have only been at stay at my current house, guess what? God would have met my needs there. But that's all that would have happened. If my faith would have been at, well, I just have faith to believe for the payment for the Ishmael house. Guess what? I'd been stuck in that place. And it's a beautiful home. Don't misunderstand me. But because my faith was enlarged, God had more room to pack more power in. Why? Because all things are possible to him that believes. So if you can only believe for certain this, that's what you can get. If you can go up here to belief, you can get that. It's not up to him. If you can believe for up here, you can get what's up there. Glory to God. Matthew 18 and verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatever you bind shall be bound. Whatever you loose shall be loosed. Glory to God. And then he says, again I say to you, basically saying the same thing, that if you can agree, it can be done. What's he saying in verse 18 and 19? It all depends on what you have the belief to loose, what you have the belief to bind, and what you can believe to agree on. If you can only agree here, I'll meet you there. If you can agree up here, I'll meet you up here. If you can only loose down here, well, then we can loose down there. If you can bind things that are up here, let's do it. Why? He's not the problem. We have to expand. Glory to God. Amen. James 4 and verse 2. This is worth the price of admission. Praise God. I'm stirred up. We have such little, I'll just say it this way. We put God in such small boxes. He wants to explode out of that box and bless you so mightily, but we just put him in the box of just pay my bills. Just don't let me lose my car. I'll just be happy with this beater. Just you know, one pair of underwear is good. It's not good, by the way. One pair of underwear is not from personal experience, but you know, Dr. Dufresne would always joke around how, you know, when he got prosperous, he loved to go buy underwear and socks because he never had it when he was a kid. Always wearing the same thing. So he said, I'm going to make sure, and he just had piles of underwear. That's what we should all have. Piles of underwear that you change every day. James 4 and verse 2. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Now look at this. You have not because you won't ask for it. What's he saying? Because you won't go down the road of Mark 11, 24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe. Why won't we ask for it? Because we don't think it will happen. You know, we've talked about my kids a lot, you know, and I tell you how Caleb loves to stay up late, hates going to bed, hates it. To the point, Dad's getting fired up, like, stop talking about this, right? He's getting to the point where he knows, don't say anything more. And we're very rigid on our sleep with our kids. And Caleb's bedtime on school nights is lights out at 9:30. Abby's bedtime on school nights is lights out at 7:30. Now you think, aw, no, she likes going to bed. Enjoys going to bed, doesn't fight it, enjoys it. And she needs to go to bed at 7:30, don't ya? Yeah, she needs it. But on Fridays, we'll let Caleb, we don't do it on Saturday because church the next day, but on Fridays, we'll let him stay up to lights out till 11. Now, he would love to stay up till 11 o'clock every night. And even when he would ask to stay up later on school nights, he never asked me to stay up till 11. You know why he doesn't ask me to stay up to 11? He knows it's not going to happen. And because it's not going to happen, he doesn't ask. You know why you don't ask God and believe him for things? Because you don't believe it can happen. It's the truth. You'd never even think of that brand new vehicle or the new house or the wardrobe or the vacation because in your mind you're so convinced that can never happen, so you don't ask for it. And he said, you don't have it because you won't go down the road of faith for it. Do you see that there? If Caleb thought he had a smidgen of a chance to stay up till 11 on a school night, he'd ask me. But when he asked me, Dad, 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes, 15 more minutes, because he knows that's in the realm of possibilities. And you, in your mind, have the realm of possibilities, generally, not just picking on you here, in such small things that you just ask him for, I just like one new outfit, Lord. And he's up there saying, I'd like to give you a whole new wardrobe. It's the truth. A lot of people would be like, this Ishmael house is wonderful, and it was naturally, but when God says you can have something better, in fact, I knew this. I knew I would be disobeying God by getting in that house. Ishmael was disobedience. Because why? He already said, this is what I want for you. But a lot of people, because they don't want to expand their faith, and don't dare to believe for bigger things, but this Ishmael house, it's fine with me. When there was so much more. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark 9:23 again, go back there, I'm almost done. Remember, if you can believe, what's the key link to this? Your belief. Let me just throw some things out there that would blow people's minds in certain places where they're at. A dream vacation could be $5,000 to $10,000. And in your mind, where you are in your bills, where you are right now, you instantly hear that, and your thoughts can instantly be, never that could that will never happen. The only reason it will never happen has nothing to do with him. Why? He's telling you it's possible. To drive a brand new vehicle, or to get in that new house you want, or to receive that healing that you've been told, or for your kids to walk into things, and that's in your mind telling you, never could happen. I'm always going to have to drive this, always going to have to live at this means, always going to have to skimp and get by. The only reason that will have to happen for the rest of your life has nothing to do with him, because he's telling you everything's possible. Your dream vacation, your new car, your new home, the blessing for your children, the spouse of your dreams, the healing in your body, a life with no medication, a life of not skipping by. It's all possible. $1 million for your church. It's possible. If you can believe it. It's the truth. That's why you need to expand. You're convinced like Caleb, there's no way I could ever have a dream vacation. There's no way, there's no way. Well, when they stood at the foot of the Red Sea, there looked like there was no way. But he's the way maker. That's what we sang about. Hallelujah. Mark 9:23 is a blank check from heaven. Saying, fill it in. Saying, I'll back it. If you can have the funds of believing, I'll have the funds to fund the project. It's a blank check from him. All things are possible. Just need your faith. Okay, so if you sign up for the Ishmael house, that's what you get. If you sign up for just a life, no pain, but have medication, okay, that's what you get then. Why? Because what you bind, what you loose. Oh, man. Romans 10:17, and we'll close here. We've looked at these over and over again. Man, oh, man, oh, man. And so what I'm saying is over these, weeks and things, you know, I just want to be upfront with the church, not because I feel the need to explain, but it's important for your pastor to have vacation and rest. Yeah. I get in the ditch on it because there's no place I'd rather be than in church. I'm just telling you the truth. That's not me trying to look spiritual. More than a tree stand, more than anywhere in my office at home, it's like one of my favorite places. Church is my favorite place to be. Amen. Absolutely. With the saints, people I love, and in the presence of God. But in 2020, I've missed two Sundays. Hardly taken any time off. You know, and the way my body was. Pastor Michael, Pastor Tim, I mean, they're taking off 9, 10, 11 Sundays in a year. You know, and nothing wrong with that. The time and things they put in. I don't have that leading. I don't want to miss that much, but I know I have to miss some. So when I say, like, the next 2 weeks... Well, you know the next 2 weeks are the rut. Yeah. And you know why your pastor's where he's going to be. But let me tell you something. It's to your benefit. I'm not saying this to make you feel okay about me missing some time. I'm saying this because you need to be on board that my pastor needs rest. That my pastor needs to do something. Pastor Michael got into such a ditch, the Durants will tell this story, that he would say that his favorite thing to do was to... for recreation, was yard work. And Brother Kevin was like, seriously? Yard work? You know, that's how he talks. Yard work? And so that's when the Holy Ghost dropped it in Brother Kevin's heart to bring up a Harley years ago for Pastor Michael, for the church to get on board to pay for it. Now, no money from the church funds paid for the Harley, but brought it up. You know, many people left offended because of that. Isn't that crazy? People had a choice to give or not to give. The church people decided to buy him a Harley, and some people that were with him for decades left him because the man of God got something to do that would bless him, and it finally got him to do something besides yard work. And he would do his yard work in his suit. He and I are not the same. I get home, I can't wait to get in my sweatpants. I'm a sweatpant guy. Oh, man. Getting those sweats, then you feel like, I don't need to lose any weight. Get in my suit, and I'm like, I gotta drop a few lbs. Then I go home and, nah, just keep eating. You feel great in these things. Sounds like you can all relate to what I'm saying. Sweatpants are like the magic elixir. They just make you feel so good and fix all the bad things. Hallelujah. And so I say that to you the next 2 weeks off. I know we're building momentum and things. But I know in my heart I have to take time off. I could hunt on the other days, but you don't understand this. When I have services to prepare for, my other days that would seem like days off, they're not days off for me. Because I take this so seriously. I want to hear from heaven. And it's just good for me to shut my brain off and get in a tree stand and look for a big deer. So that's why we're taking off. But I want to say that to you because I wanted you to agree. for rest for me, for blessing for me. I'm not forsaking the church. And when you know people are going to fill in, it's not time to miss church. Come still expecting and being hungry. Amen? Amen. Just like when you're on vacation, you stuff. We want you to be blessed in things. So, but anyways, I said that was good utterance that needed to be said. But Romans 10:17, we'll close with this. I think I started saying that because I was about to say that where we're going on these services and as the Lord leads, we're going to be sowing things into you to stretch you and increase your faith. You know, I'm was a baseball player, and one thing that I was thankful for was when you'd have a first baseman that was very flexible. Why was that? Well, at times throwing from shortstop, and I know you guys just love the fact that I played shortstop, especially certain somebody in this church, really, by the way, I'll just say this without getting unfinished business. Just letting you know, we have some unfinished business. If you don't know what I'm talking about, watch last week's service. But yes, I played shortstop, and you'd have a long throw to first base. And not all the time were my throws accurate. Sometimes they were high. Sometimes they were to the left. Sometimes they were to the right. Sometimes maybe the way I was throwing the ball, there wasn't a lot of power behind that throw, and the first baseman would have to try to reach out. The ones that were really flexible and could stretch themselves were the ones that were able to receive more and keep us blessed. Why? Other people that couldn't stretch to the left, if a throw went to the left, the ball would go behind him and the runner would get on base and it would mess up your team or over the head. But the one that had the flexibility, that could do a split and reach out and scoop that ball, those are the ones that keep the team more blessed. Why? They can receive more. We need to stretch ourselves. And how many of you know, I've never found stretching to be that comfortable. You lay there and they twist your leg and move your leg back. It's like, and it just doesn't feel right at times, right? But it's, what's it doing? It's expanding, right? It's expanding. And Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. You need to, in your life, see what God says about your situation. The vacation in your head that says no, what does he think about it? The fact that he wants you healed and whole from head to toe, your body and the doctors and the natural says no, but what does he say about it? You've never been in financial freedom or lived in your dream home or had this because you've bought into the lies. But what does he say about it? And you know how you work on stretching? You hear the word over and over, and it starts to stretch you. Amen. We are going to walk into things in this church, in this ministry, in our personal lives. Other people in the body of Christ might scoff at what we're doing. Other people in the body of Christ might say, oh, that's excess. But we are going to have miracles here. Great, great miracles here. Can y'all agree with me on that? Let's praise him. Father, we praise you. Glory to God. See, before we pray here, you need to break through some things through your stretching. Religious ideas. Poverty mentalities need to be busted off of you. The word will bust those off you. Sickness mentality, because of time and doctor's reports, they need to be busted off of you. Your experiences, time on a calendar, circumstances that you're going through, they all need to be busted off of you. Stretching out and getting that stuff off you. Father, we love you this evening. We're so grateful and thankful for where we're headed, for what you're doing for us, Father, for where we're going. We're believing you for great things. Lives changed and destinies overturned. Father, there's nothing about that million-dollar miracle that has even a shred of selfishness attached to it. It's all kingdom and people related. So, Father, we thank you. It's coming to pass. We will walk into $1 million plus because you're the God that's more than enough. So, Father, we thank you right now for what's to come. We believe you. And, Father, we'll do our part to stretch our faith in you, to see you for the way maker, the miracle worker that you are. Lord, we need to know you as that. Moses knew you as that because he was willing to slap the water with the rod when you told him to do so. Hallelujah. Joshua knew you as the way maker, the miracle worker, because he was willing to walk around a whole city for 6 days in a row one time, and on the seventh day to do it seven times, and then to blow instruments and to raise their voice and shout. He knew you as that, and he got his miracle. Father, we need miracles in our lives. We need blessings in our lives for the church, for our personal lives, but we need to expand and to stretch what you're able to put into, because it's not too hard, nothing's too hard for you. It's easy for you. So, Father, we worship and praise you. We bless you this morning. We glorify you and thank you for all you've done. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I know we're all born again. Well, let me just say it this way. I don't know that we're all born again. I just spoke that out of repetition. But bow your heads and close your eyes. There might be people watching right now. People come from different places too, you know, and you don't know everybody's past. But I want to make this simple for you. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Let me get that out of the way right now. First and foremost, I'm not going to embarrass you tonight. I won't have you stand up. I won't have you say anything on your own. And I won't have you come to the front. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. The greatest miracle that God ever gave us was Jesus in heaven. He provided heaven for us so that we would not have to perish, so that we could live life knowing when we see our final day, we're going to be in a place called heaven that's perfect and healing and prosperity and joy and victory. God made that simple. Now, I want everybody to listen to this. If you are unsure if you'd go to heaven when your last day is on earth, I want to have you walk out of here or leave that place you are where you're watching this on live stream knowing that you're going to heaven. God wants that for you. It has nothing to do with joining this church. It has nothing to do with coming back to the church. It has nothing to do with going to any church. Jesus said, through the Apostle Paul, the Holy Ghost said in Romans 10, if you believe and receive, you'll be saved. That's it. It doesn't matter what denomination you are, if you've never been to church, if you go to church all the time, if you've been a terrible person, if you've been a wonderful person. None of it matters. If you believe and receive, as far as heaven goes, that stuff doesn't matter. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, please nobody looking around. If you're here tonight and you can say, I want to go to heaven, but I've never known how to get there. The first qualification is that you have to believe in Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean you'll understand him with your head or understand this with your mind. You can't figure this out with your mind. You figure it out with your heart or your spirit. In your heart or in your spirit, it's telling you he's real. He's real. You can't figure it out and you can't understand it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you, maybe, but in your spirit, you know, in your heart, in your belly section, you say, I know in the deepest parts of me, Jesus was real. If that's you, you're qualified. The only step now is now to receive him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. If you're here tonight, and you could say, I've never received Jesus. I've never formally received Jesus, but I do believe in him, and I want to go to heaven, Pastor Mike. I never knew it could be this easy. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. Would you lift your hand in the air if you want to receive Jesus for the very first time? Nobody's going to embarrass you. I promise you. Just real quick, raise your hand and put it right back down if you've never done it. Anybody at all before we close. I like to give people time to do this because sometimes people are shy. But nobody's looking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody that wants to receive Jesus for the very first time? Lift your hand high in the air. Anybody? Father, I don't see any hands in this building. And I obviously can't see the hands of people watching by the internet. But Lord, it's not about the hands. So I probably would have been a person that wouldn't have raised my hand in church. I'd have been too shy. But you said if we'd believe and receive. So if there's anybody in here tonight or watching online and you didn't raise your hand, maybe you're shy, don't let this moment pass you by. Get alone with Jesus tonight and just say, and the verse is Romans 10, 9. You look that up in a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you look that up on the internet. If you need a Bible, you let us know. We'll get you one. But you look that up on the internet, Romans 10, 9, or an online Bible, and you'll see that I'm not lying to you, that the qualifications are that easy, believing and receiving. And you just do what it says. You say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. If you'll do that, you'll be saved. God will come into your heart. He'll bless you. Become your Father. And then send me an email or give me a phone call, which you can find that information either on that welcome card or on the website. And let me know and I'll help you get started with your new life with him. Oh, he wants to bless you. Praise God. Can we stand to our feet and worship him? Lord, we love you. We praise you and magnify you. We glorify you. We're so grateful for what's ahead. We are in so much anticipation And we know there'll be tests, and we know there'll be trials, and we know there'll be opposition, but we know those things are only there because what is causing that is terrified of our arrival. Terrified of what we're going to walk into. And we don't listen to those voices anyways. We listen to the voice of victory, the voice of truth, the word of God. We praise you, Father. We love you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you run out, please, just before you run out, if you need prayer, come forward. Don't forget this Sunday. We're right back. I will be here this weekend, so come to church. Come to church when you know I'm not going to be here. Amen. I love you. Appreciate you. We'll see you Sunday. You're dismissed.